God bless you tonight. If you would turn with me to the book of Colossians. Colossians. I don't know about y'all, but I'm a little warm. Maybe it's just because I'm doing stuff. It is a little warm in here. Amen. If Sister Judy's warm, it's really hot in here. Hallelujah. Paul wrote this letter here in Colossians. In his writing, a lot of times he'll start with a few words, and he never finds the time to put a period in. It just keeps going, you know. Semicolons and commas, and it's hard to find a place to take a breath when you read some of the writings of Paul. But I'm really interested in what he had to say here. Paul, by the way, if you would just bear with me tonight and let me kind of lay a little foundation work. I might preach a message on this someday. Tonight I'll just kind of teach a lesson and some foundation material for a few minutes. But Paul, for those who don't know this, was a Jesus name baptized, speaking in tongues, Holy Ghost filled, apostolic. Now, let me run that by you one more time in case you want to know what kind of church he was part of. Paul the Apostle was a Jesus name baptized, Holy Ghost filled, speaking in tongues, apostolic Christian. If you don't believe that, read the New Testament. And read about his conversion. And read about the message that was preached to him and by him. How that he came in the 19th chapter of Acts to a group of believers who really believed in all their heart, like many people say they do today. And that had already been baptized even. But he said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" Amen. And I heard somebody tonight talking, Sister Jennifer was speaking about it. I'm glad I've got it. We get criticized for saying it, referring to the Holy Spirit sometimes. But those that criticize us don't have an understanding that I would like for you to try to get a handle on tonight, if you would. I don't pretend to believe that I can teach you to understand what I want to teach tonight. But it's there if you're available before God to open your heart to have God reveal Himself. Some lessons just can't be taught. They have to be accepted through revelation from God. And then they can't be unlearned. Once you get this in you, all the doctrines and all the studies in the world cannot change what you really know. Because when you really get it, not when I say it now, I'm not disrespecting God. I'm talking about it as an experience. This experience that I call it. It happened to me. This that's called that holy thing within you in one of the scriptures. Referring to the Holy Spirit experience. Amen. This is that. Spoken of by the prophet Joel. What is this? Is that? This is that in the book of Acts in the second chapter. A group of people are being filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just accepting God and His attributes as being there, but accepting what God has provided. The operation of the Holy Ghost within you. And this is what Paul had. The one that wrote Colossians. He had this experience that we call the Holy Ghost. Not just God up there somewhere or one of the gods up there somewhere, but Christ in you. The hope of glory. And so he starts writing here in the first chapter. And I'll just take up the reading because there's no really good place to start unless you go to the beginning. But I want to start with verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, first chapter of Colossians, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even forgiveness of sin. Notice I haven't gotten to a period yet. There's a lot of knowledge here. It just keeps flowing. And this is talking about God, who has provided us the redemption blood of Jesus Christ, forgiving us of our sins. Now it's talking about this Son of God, Jesus Christ, who has been provided by God Almighty to translate us into the kingdom of God, who is the image of the invisible God. Who is the image of the invisible God? Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And he's talking about Jesus here. The one that shed His blood. The one that died on Calvary. God has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now here's where really, if you could just open your heart, those of you that have tried to figure out the mystery of God, as I continue to read here, some of the mystery part may turn out to be quite simple, because it's a matter of understanding that God is a spirit. God is a spirit. He's greater than any one man, two man, three person, four person, five. God is bigger than all persons. God made all persons. God made everything that is, and without God, nothing is made. But then the Scripture starts revealing something about God. And as I read, you'll start seeing that God has placed in His Son, in Jesus Christ, all the power that's in God, and made possible that all that God is can be manifested through Jesus Christ. Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created. Now, did you hear that? I sing a song sometimes that says, Jesus made it all. And there are a lot of people that have a problem with those words. But I'm reading the writing of a man who had understanding that he got straight from God. By Him, Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. Hallelujah. And we're still talking about the Son of God. We're still talking about Jesus. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross by Him, to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Period. Now we continue. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Isn't that a good way to, a good goal to have, to be able to know that you're holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ? And this is something that is possible, or it wouldn't be here for us to read, that God has made peace through the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ by Jesus to reconcile all things to himself, whether they be in earth or in heaven. Jesus, the only mediator between God and man. If you're looking for an in-between, look to Jesus. Don't look to your neighbor. Don't try to get your message across to somebody else through somebody else. The only in-between you ever need in your life is Jesus Christ. He's the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. It pleased God that through Jesus Christ, all things can be reconciled, whether they be spiritual, heavenly, earthly. If you suffer in your flesh, there's reconciliation through the blood of Jesus Christ and the body of his flesh through death. It's the goal of God to present through Jesus, to present us holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. And this can be done if, everybody say if you continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Have you heard us say before, maybe you didn't catch it, but there are many people today who are saying when the whole gospel gets preached to the whole world, then God's going to wrap it up and take us all home. We've said many times, and we still maintain, that the whole gospel was preached to the whole world. And we've been living in the last days ever since. When Peter preached to the whole world, repent and be baptized, every one of you. That was the gospel of Jesus being preached to the whole world. By the way, Peter was also a one God, Jesus' name baptized in Jesus' name, not in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He was baptized in the name of those titles. We are commanded in Matthew 28:19, all of us, we are commanded and commissioned to teach people that they should be baptized in the one singular name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And Peter and Matthew stood together in one mind and one accord on the day of Pentecost. And Peter preached to the whole world, to every creature, to every inhabitant of the earth, from that time forward that would ever be born, and said, repent, and Matthew said, amen. And be baptized, and Matthew said, amen. Every one of you, and Matthew said, amen. Matthew, who wrote Matthew 28:19 under the inspiration of God Almighty, that we should baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, stood with Peter when Peter preached to the whole world repentance and baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. He didn't leave anybody out. He wasn't just talking to the people on the doorstep. He wasn't just talking to the people in the upper room, nor just the people in Jerusalem. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. He was talking to all the pastors of all denominations, all the bishops, all the deacons, all the presidents, all the popes, and all religions, and all atheists, and even those that don't pay tithes. Repent! Everybody say repent. And be baptized, every one of you. Leaving nobody out. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, every creature in the world, in the name of Jesus. The Bible also says there is salvation in no other name, for there is none other name given whereby we must be saved. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This should not be an offensive message, nor should it be a message that makes you feel bad. This should be a positive answer to everybody that has a question or a problem understanding. Who is this God? What makes up this God? How many people are in the Godhead? Where do I find God? Which God do I pray to? Do I pray to the Father? Do I pray to the Son? Do I pray to the Holy Spirit? Let me tell you something. You want to get to God, you got to go through the door. There's only one door, and God has set it before us, and His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. This is what Paul taught, what Paul believed, what Peter believed, what Matthew believed, and what Jesus believed. And everybody's forming all these religions that don't teach that. You need to go back and start all over, and let's try to get it right. We need to get on the foundation. We need to get in the beginning that which is important in our doctrines and in our theologies, so that we'll have something solid to stand on and build on. Amen. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. That's Acts 2:38. In the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That's how you get your sins remitted out of your life. Repentance, baptism in Jesus' name. And for some people, this is the first time you've ever heard this. And I know that. There's several sitting in here who've heard this many times. But just like we sing our songs over and over, for many out there, it's the first time you've heard these songs. You might wonder why these people don't jump and shout when they hear these songs that are so beautiful to you. It could be they've heard them 50 million times, and you're just now hearing it for the first time. So you do the jumping and shouting. Amen. I get blessed every time somebody sings a song that we've heard over and over, not because it's my first time to hear the song, but because I know it's something that somebody out there is hearing for the first time, and it's doing for them what it did for me the first time I was blessed by it. This message is heard over and over by many of us, Jesus' name, one God people. Sometimes I almost refrain from calling myself an apostolic or a Pentecostal. So many people are so geared and so trained and so into this, you got to have a label. You've got to be some kind of a denomination. You have to have some kind of religion. So they say, what are you? If you say Baptist, they have in their mind what a Baptist is. So from that point on, there's nothing else for you to say because they already have everything about your belief figured out. If you say I'm Pentecostal, they remember all the Pentecostals they've ever heard about. They remember all the stories of the Jim Baker and the Jimmy Swaggerts and all that, and they just get it all figured out, and they know what you are if you say Pentecostal. If you say apostolic, they think of a few holy rollers they've seen along the way, and those people stirring up the sawdust and foaming at the mouth and casting out devils. They know all about you if you say you're apostolic. If you say you're Methodist, they think of you as a cold, formal, dried-up churchgoer. Amen. And I didn't mean that bad toward the Methodists. Some of the finest friends I got are Methodist people. What a lot of people don't know is that I am a Methodist. I have the method. I'm a Baptist. I am baptized and I do baptize. Hallelujah. If all the Baptists were baptized like Jesus said to baptize, we'll have good fellowship, all of us Baptist people. Because we're supposed to be baptized in the name. I'm a Catholic. I'm a Roman Catholic. I roam all over the country with this gospel. I am part, I believe with all my heart, of God's universal church. That's Catholicism. And that's what it means. And if all the Catholics will follow the teaching of the apostles and Jesus Christ, we will all have fellowship one with another. We will all speak the same thing, teach the same things, and we will have the same understanding because we'll get it all from the same source. And I'd love to see all the Catholics line up to the Word of God that's available to all people everywhere. I am Pentecostal because I have an experience that you can find in the book of Acts that happened on a festival day, a holiday called Pentecost. And they call that a Pentecostal experience. And that's when the people gathered in the upper room and they were waiting on the promise of Jesus Christ. And many people who still believe today that this is available for you now are referred to as Pentecostal. I've had some people of various denominations find out that I am Pentecostal and they ran from me. There's nothing wrong with being Pentecostal. Pentecostal just means that you had an experience with God on a day called Pentecost. Well, I had an experience with God and it wasn't on a Pentecost day, but I had the same experience that I read about in the book of Acts. One night in my lifetime, down on my knees praying, I repented to my God and said, "Lord, I'm sorry for my sins." And in the midst of my repentance and worship to God, God filled me with a Holy Spirit. And I started speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. It was not something I tried to do. It was not something that I tried to make happen. It happened, and there are many people in this room who can say, "I'm a witness, it happened to me too." If you've had that experience, raise your hand. See, and that's good for you. I don't think that these nice people here that raise their hand, that all of you love, and we love to have fellowship, I don't think they're lying to us. I know I'm not lying, but I've had many people look at me in the eye and say, "You can't have the Holy Ghost today. You don't speak in tongues today. Healing's not available today. You don't do those things today. Those were done away with a long time ago." But I have read the Bible several times from Genesis to Revelation and even the footnotes and the index and the concordance. And I never read one place where it said it was done away with. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And Peter in Acts 2.38 said the promise in 2.39 went on and said, after he said to repent and be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He went on and said, for the promise, everybody say the promise. Promise, what promise? The promise of the gift of the Holy Ghost. A gift that God would give us. Not as many theologies try to present God as a third person and a triune deity, but something beyond that, something greater than man-made understanding. Man's theology cannot measure up to God's revelation. God wants to give you the Holy Ghost, which is the very Jesus that we read about in the Bible, coming inside of you and living and dwelling in your life, guiding your footsteps and teaching you His Word. When you go to church, you hear things that are beyond your natural understanding. Because you have ears to hear when you have it, this is that experience. Praise God. I'm talking about ears to hear being the ears of the Lord that know what His Word is talking about. God knows what He means, God knows what He says, and God says what He means, and God's going somewhere, and if you want to go with Him, you need to get His ears and His eyes and His understanding. The Word teaches us that we should put on the mind of Christ. How do you do that? Receive Christ in your life. Oh, well, preacher, I did that. I went up in front of the preacher and I said, "I accept Christ as my personal Savior." I'm not criticizing those who do that. But we're instructed in the Word of God to present our bodies unto Him, acceptable unto Him. It's one thing for us to accept Christ, but are we acceptable to Christ? Hallelujah. To present our bodies holy. Are you holy? Well, they say to me, nobody can be holy. According to the Word of God, we're instructed to be holy. Be ye holy. How can we do that? Well, God is not going to live in an unclean temple. That's why repentance is required. You need to repent of those sins. Then when we repent of those sins, God will come in. And if there's anything that's lacking, any weakness, anything that's not exactly what it should be, He'll just get rid of it and sweep it clean for you. And He'll just take His abode in your life, lead you, guide you, walk with you. It's like Adam being brought back to the Garden of Eden again. So you can sing, now He walks with me. Now He talks with me. And He tells me I'm His own. But in order to accept Christ and be saved, we need to accept Him and make sure that we have done what is required to make ourselves acceptable to Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So Paul just keeps on writing. Amen. And he says, if you continue, you can be unblameable, unreprovable in His sight, if you continue in the faith. And you notice the words "in the faith." I hear about a lot of people in different faiths, but I'm reading here, if you continue in the faith, which indicates there's one faith that's right and all the rest are wrong. And that's the faith we need to find that we can continue in. If you continue in the faith, there's another scripture and several scriptures concerning the faith once delivered to the saints. You can be unblameable and unreprovable in His sight if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to how many creatures? Which was preached to every creature. So it's already been done. Every creature under heaven has had the gospel preached to them. They may not have all heard it, and the poor little man-eater in the jungles of Africa may not have heard it yet, but it was preached to him. And if he can ever get his ears close enough to a radio, he may hear us talk about it sometime. Somebody been trying to send me some money. You know, and I've been getting all this email from some fellow Amsterdam. Nigeria is involved, but this is Amsterdam. I've been getting all this email saying, I have a lot of money to give your ministry. I want to give you a lot of money. And we could use a lot of money. And so, you know, the first time I read it, I thought, well, this is some kind of a crook trying to be, has some kind of scheme up his sleeve. So I'll play along, see how far he goes with it. So anyway, I wrote him back. And he said he'd been fasting and praying, and that God had laid on his heart to send me a lot of money. And he had a lot of money and wanted to put it in our ministry here. So I said, well, I accept it. Send it. And I said, if you were fasting and praying, God told you to do it, it'll get done. I'll be waiting. And then he wrote back. He said, oh, I'm so glad I did hear from you. And he said, now you will have to come to Amsterdam. And then I got another letter saying that he had deposited the money into the hands of a global security company. And it would be required that I go to Amsterdam to pick up the money. So, and then even today I got a fax on Brother John's. I don't know how they got our phone number for his fax machine all the way from this international global security company that is wanting me to come to Amsterdam and pick up my money. Brother John was helping me to do a little research, and we looked up this company and this global thing and the name of this person that was writing to me. It turns out this is a big old scam coming out of Nigeria, and the people that fall for it get on a plane and go to Amsterdam, and they're met there by a group of people who ushered them away in a car, and they're kidnapped. I'm glad I didn't fall for that. I want to tell you something else. If some cannibal calls me and says he's hungry and wants me to come to Africa or South America, I'll probably stay here and preach the gospel to every creature. I'll stay here and preach the gospel to every creature in Amsterdam and every creature in Nigeria. But Jesus didn't mean we had to physically go everywhere and touch every human life physically in order to get this message out. He commissioned his disciples, and I want to tell you when they did it, was when Peter stood with the rest of them on the day of Pentecost and preached to every creature. And that includes the ones out there today listening on Pal Talk. Clap your hands to Jesus and worship Him. Hallelujah! And yes, the gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ came and lived and died and rose again and ascended. Yes, that's the good news. That's the gospel. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. But the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is the whole Word of Jesus Christ, which includes all the inspired Word of God, and we don't need to leave any of it out. Especially when we're instructed, whatsoever you do in word or in deed, if you say something, if you do something, whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So when we get baptized, and this is what Peter taught, Matthew taught, Paul taught, we are to be baptized. In one scripture it says, buried with him in baptism. And it says, arise, calling on the name of the Lord. Paul asked these believers, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they hadn't heard of it. And he said in the 19th chapter of Acts, how were you baptized? So evidently it's important to get baptized the proper way in your day. Now these disciples had a pretty legitimate reason for having been baptized and having a need to be baptized over. Because it was not a debate issue when they were baptized. It wasn't an issue of whether to be baptized titles or the name. It was just the forerunner of Christ, John the Baptist, was out at the Jordan River in the wilderness speaking of things to come and fulfilling righteousness. In his day, he was pointing to something that's about to happen. And he was baptizing people unto repentance. Unto repentance. Because repentance, baptism in Jesus' name and the Holy Ghost wasn't available yet. It was just before the availability of this key that will unlock the door to heaven. It was just before Jesus would arrive and then die and then ascend and then send the Holy Ghost and then give the message to the whole world. John the Baptist was there talking about things that would shortly come to pass, saying, I must decrease, but he will increase. I'm here baptizing now in the wilderness, but there stands one among you who's greater than I am, and he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly purge his floor, and he will gather into himself all the good stuff, in so many words. And while he was speaking, that one that was among them said, baptize me, John. Now, Jesus was not baptized for the remission of sins. Jesus was baptized in Jordan to fulfill righteousness, to be an example that it's a good thing you should do. Jesus requires it, and thus he was glad to show you that he's willing to go under the water himself. To fulfill all righteousness, he submitted himself to submersive under the water baptism at the hands of John the Baptist. Amen. But then when Paul met these disciples of John and said, now how were you baptized? They said, we were baptized unto John's baptism. And Paul said, well, John baptized unto repentance. Amen. Let's just read it. Everybody turn to the book of Acts. You know, in case somebody's thinking I'm making this stuff up. Amen. Turn to the book of Acts. And I won't be much longer. I just want to drive home a point of who Jesus really is. Hallelujah. Because there's friends out there that think that we're fanatic. That we're making all this stuff up. That they call us Jesus only. They say that we're off the deep end. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's okay, as long as they're talking about us. Praise God. Keep talking. Good advertising. But in the 19th chapter of Acts, here is Paul, the man that wrote the book of Colossians that we're reading. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And he said unto them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. This was not men gathered out of every nation under heaven. This was not a local church with a lot of foreigners who spoke in different languages gathered together. This was not a place where they had a need of two or three at the most and then an interpreter. But this was an experience, an initial received experience of the Holy Ghost, accompanied with speaking with other tongues, necessary enough that Paul the Apostle taught them they needed it. And the baptism that goes with it in Jesus' name was necessary enough that he baptized all 12 of them over again in that river, laid his hands on them, and didn't stop praying till all 12 were speaking in other tongues. That's apostolic, Pentecostal, purified Baptist, holy Catholic. I'm God's little altar boy tonight. I'm declaring to you that it doesn't make any difference what you call yourself, what kind of denomination, how you were raised, how you were baptized. What does make a difference is, what are you now? Are you obedient to Christ? Are you listening to the Word? Are you open to do it over if you have to and get it right this time? Is there one God like we say there is one God? Almost every religion says there's only one God. And then when they explain it, it sounds like there are several gods. But no matter who they are, who we are, what we think we are, where we're coming from, there is one God. And that one God has manifested Himself through the visible expression of Jesus Christ, without taking anything away from His power, from His glory, from His presence that fills all in all. God never ceased to be God, and He didn't become weaker when Jesus was born, and He didn't divide Himself into three parts. He stayed what He was. Spirit. 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 God is a spirit. My Lord, I could preach on that all night. Let me go back and let's finish up here. I was in the book of Colossians, and I know it's after 9 and I'm almost through. 9 o'clock is Pentecostal apostolic wind-up time. Amen. Now we're in the afterglow. Paul, this Jesus name fanatic, who spent most of his life in jail. I mean, he spent a big part of his life putting Jesus' name, Holy Ghost filled people in jail and consenting to their death, and now he joins them. And he gets a little taste of what he was doing to others. I wouldn't be surprised if most of what we're reading here was written from some cold, dark jail cell or dungeon. But this Paul, who spent a lot of his time in trouble because of the truth that he taught, you need to get baptized right, and you need that Holy Ghost. This man, who was always in trouble for teaching this, wrote these words that we're talking tonight. And this is what got him in a lot of trouble. And also keeps people, you know, kind of concerned about us, thinking we're a little bit maybe off, you know, in our thinking. He said, talking about Jesus, the gospel that was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, verse 24 in Colossians, first chapter, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God. By the way, that's a big dispensation. I'm not a preacher who preaches dispensationalism as has been taught through the last couple of hundred years by some people that are off the deep end. I am in God's dispensation. There are dispensations when God deals with people in various ways, but these dispensations that man has figured out that God deals with people this way and that way and that way, and now we know about, you know, within 7 years or so when he's coming back and how he's going to set up his kingdom and this next dispensation, what's going to happen. I'm not into any of that stuff. You can throw rocks at me if you want to. I'm in the dispensation of God. And in this dispensation, we are ambassadors of Christ living in God's day. I'm with Paul. I'm with Peter. I'm with John. I'm with the disciples. I'm with those that get snake bit, shipwrecked, stoned, and left for dead. And I've never heard of anybody get stoned and left for dead for preaching the false doctrines that are commonly heard in most pulpits. But when you start teaching, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. And that Holy Ghost speaking in tongues experience is for everybody. People go, no! I didn't get saved that way. Well, praise God you're listening, because God wants you to get saved right. And if He touched you and brought you out and changed you and helped you and made it better for you, He's got His hand on your life. Why wouldn't you want everything that's available in His Word? He says the Holy Ghost is for all of you. Repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, it's for all of you. This is not works, and this is not something bad. This is good. The gift of God, by grace, it is delivered to us. And in my conclusion, let's listen to what Paul says. He says, I'm made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known that what his riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ, everybody say Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. Praise God. Praise God. And you can stand, and I just want to pick up a couple of verses here in the next chapter. Amen. Paul says in verse 6, chapter 2, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, everybody say beware. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him, in Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. We're talking about being in Christ, being complete in the One who is the head of all principality and power. He is not co-equal with anybody. He's the head of the church. He's the One that made all things. And you wonder, how could Jesus make all things? He was only born 2,000 years ago. How old is God? And did God have a name? Well, God had many names. God had many titles. God had many names that represented many things. And you can read through the Old Testament, you can find some 1,300 titles referring to God. But there's one name. One name. That takes in all those other titles, all those other names. There's one name that's greater than them all. When you say Jesus, you're saying God has become salvation for me. Jehovah has become my salvation. Jehovah Savior. When you speak Jesus, all the titles and attributes that are in God have been placed in Him. He is the head of all things, all principalities. It pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. In Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You don't have to be confused on who to call on, Father, Son, or Holy Ghost. When you say Jesus, you get the whole family. Hallelujah! That's why we need to be baptized in the name. The name of the Father. The name. The name. Everybody say the name. How were you baptized? Well, my preacher took me in water and baptized me, saying, I now baptize you in the name. He said that? Well, did he do it? Because if your preacher said, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and put you under water without saying Jesus, he lied to you. You need to get baptized again. Because you hadn't been baptized in the name of Jesus till you've been baptized in the name of Jesus. Now let's praise Him tonight. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! If internet could have an opening where the computer could open the screen and the rocks could come through, I would have to duck. Not everybody. But a lot of people just don't want to hear this, Brother Joe. They don't want to hear it. I have stood with my Bible open in front of people saying, read right here. And I've had them look off and say, I don't want to look at it. Why not? It's in the Bible. And I've had them actually read it out loud to me. And I said, see that? No, I can't see it. Oh, Lord, thank you. Jesus, you've given us a lot to be thankful for. My goodness. God loves us, and we have a lot to be thankful for. If you're not apostolic, Jesus' name, Holy Ghost, filled, speaking in tongues, and that being the beginning of something greater yet to come, I invite you to join this church. Because it's in order here to get it all. It's in order here to let God bless your life, heal you, sanctify you, set you apart. It's in order here for God to put in you a desire to pray a lot, to worship Him, to raise those hands, to clap those hands, to hug somebody's neck and say, woo, glory, we're going to start an orchestra and have 100 people. We're starting with 4 out of tune horns. And it's wonderful. Oh, it's a great church.